Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Oh, I'm so sorry. I had my phone on mute. Excuse me. Oh, I was trying so hard not to say anything or maybe cough or something while the music was going. So to start off again, because I missed the intro, thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight here on Triple Chalice Tarot. This is a very special episode. We're going to be reviewing a culture-rich deck, very special deck, the African American Tarot. So I'm your host, Aluna Odette, and I'm joined tonight. You're like, hello, I'm so sorry. I made you step in like
that.
But Tarouk Vishal, my very special co-host, is with me tonight.
Hello.
All right. So, Tarouk, this deck, both of us actually own this deck, but this deck is very personal and very very much your go-to deck. Am I right?
Well, it is my only deck. It is the only one that I own.
Right. What was your initial relationship with the deck? How did you come across this deck?
Well, you know, around 5 years ago,
it's been 5 years.
Yeah, a friend of mine, when I was attending college, she gave me a tarot deck, and it was a miniature deck, maybe like 3 inches by 3 inches, very small with very, what is the word? Not stereotypical, but very regular, just, you know, just typical Rider-Waite.
What deck was
special.
This? Okay, the Rider-Waite. It was the Rider-Waite deck?
Yeah, but it was a different kind of art, not the traditional exact Rider-Waite, but it was still Rider-Waite inspired. But all the characters, you know, they were Caucasian, and no offense to the Caucasian people out there, but, you know, I wanted something that was more ethnic or similar to me and my background, you know, something that I could relate to, something that I could connect to, because I know that tarot is something that, you know, is spiritual, and that the person who is reading, the reader, you have to establish a psychic link to this deck. And even though I did establish a link with that deck, I wanted a stronger, more powerful connection, and I knew that I had to find something that had African theme to it, you know, because I, you know, that is part of my ancestry, or a large percent of my ancestry is African, so I wanted something that I can connect with my ancestors, and at that time it was something that was really important to me, was connecting with my African ancestors, was, you know, searching for that definition that I was looking for, you know, when it comes to tarot. Was that, you know, bonding with my ancestors, you know, because they do speak through the cards, and that's what I was looking for.
Amazing, very interesting. I think I feel the same way. I've come across a lot of decks, and this deck definitely is one that, because of my African descent, African background, that one that I should definitely have a part of my collection. I do have a relationship. Now, I'm the one with all the decks, okay? I'm, like, collecting decks all the time. And this deck, I have built a relationship as well as many other decks. And it's like you said, you can have a relationship with a deck, but you build a more stronger, developing bond. And decks themselves, I personally believe, take on their own sense of personality, their own sense of energy. Just the symbolism in this, or the symbolic representation in this deck itself, is very untraditional. Okay, a lot of the cards, for example, I would say, which card would you say huge? Well, what about the Seven of Swords? The Seven of Swords in this card.
I really
I'm
like
sorry,
the
in this
Seven
deck,
of Swords.
This, but the Seven of Swords isn't your Rider-Waite interpretation or depiction, really, because in this depiction, we see a baboon who is bending over, drinking water, and what's on, he wields a mask that's placed on the back of his head. And there's a lion that's positioned behind him that's looking down a bit confused, you know. And now the Seven of Swords, now naturally in this scene, okay, to talk about this scene is sort of giving you that the lion would naturally eat the baboon. But in the regular Rider-Waite, the Seven of Swords depicts someone who's stealing some swords. You know, they're stealing very flamboyantly and very openly, because the scene is normally daylit. The person is out in the middle of this camp, taking the swords. They're dressed with all these different patterns and coloring. So it's like it has its kind of sense, its original sense. Now, what's interesting about this tarot deck is that it has the 78 regular cards, the major arcana, minor arcana. It has the swords, the court cards. I'm sorry, the different elemental cards and the court cards. So it very much has the foundation of a regular tarot deck.
Yeah,
but there's
yeah.
much contrast in this. So
now
to ask,
No, I just wanted to say that the Seven of I see it is similar because, you know, in the Rider-Waite, you said that the man is stealing. Well, the baboon is stealing, too. You know, the baboon is stealing that water. That water is supposed to be for the lion, you know. He's drinking directly from and openly. You know, he's drinking that lion. You know, that's dedicated to the lion. That's his space, you know. So the lion, that baboon is up in there disrespectfully, you know, tricking that lion, which is part of, you know, like the deception and two-facedness and, you know, trying to do something wrong in order to get something out of it. I like the illustration of it slightly more than the Rider-Waite because it is easier to distinguish. It's easier to see the story of that lion and baboon than
you
somebody
think,
you know
you
trying to
this...
get away.
Well, okay. So in the scene of the or in the interpretation of the Seven of Swords, it's about thievery. It's about getting away with something. It's about keeping secrets. Basically, a manipulation of a situation. You taking something. But we're seeing you. So, but it's interesting. You said that it seems so much. The story is so much more clear in that card than the Rider-Waite because, I mean, it's really pretty much the same scene. You definitely open the door to, you know, the revelation of that scene, but, you know, it's the scenes are both kind of, just in my opinion, the scenes are definitely much giving off the same story. So I wanted to ask you another question. I was going to ask you what a very good question. What card is your favorite card? Outside of, you already said the Seven, you like the Seven, but what other card and
my
why?
Favorite
What's the depiction?
Card, honestly, when I look through all of them, I don't know if I do have a favorite. I don't think I do have one really that stands out to me from all of these. I'm looking at all of them right now as I'm speaking, trying to make time pass by, looking through it. you know what? Maybe it would have to be the Death card.
So go ahead into a depiction of that. Yeah, describe the depiction.
Well, you see this woman dressed in a black off the shoulder, or you know, kind of like that Greek god style where the fabric is over one shoulder, and it's like this gown, this black gown, and she is standing, floating in the air, it seems, but her dress is extremely long, and there's people around her in a circle, and it's kind of like they're dancing or moving clockwise around her, and she is, you know, hovering above them, maybe like 6 feet above them with her gown, you know, so she looks like she's maybe like 20 feet tall compared to these people, and she's floating and hovering, you know, with this very long gown, and she's holding in her right hand a skull, and in her left hand a bowl, a small bowl with fire, and in the background, it seems like it could be either sunset or sunrise, I'm not sure, and I think that was the point. I think, you know, this interpretation is much more beautiful than the Rider-Waite, which is a knight, or some kind of like,
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, some kind of death figure riding a pale horse. It's very, very, a very negative looking card, a very scary looking card for somebody who does not know anything about Rider-Waite. You see something like that and you think already like death and destruction and just, you know, something bad. But this card is showing the duplicity. It's showing that she holds life with the fire and death with the skull, and that the people around her who are dancing or moving around her in a clockwise position in the circle, you know, when the circle represents life or the circle of life, and they're, you know, dancing around her and they're in awe of her. And some people even look like are afraid of her. You know, there's that fear and awe of death, which we all have, which I have. And then you also have the background, the scenery, which is sunset or sunrise. And that is, in a way, a death and a rebirth. Sunset is
right.
Death and sunrise is rebirth. So the fact that we are, it's like an in-between, that is what this card is showing, is that balance. So it's a much more beautiful and easier way to break this card to somebody who does not know about the tarot. If they were to see this imagery, you know, it would be easier for them to see the analogy of that in-between of, you know, holding that life and death, holding that circle of life, you know, that it's a rebirth. It's not what we thought it would be, you know, looking at it.
Amazing, amazing. I just love how you went in and just really broke it down for our listeners to get the scene of that. So I'm looking through my personal deck as well, and many of these cards, they are very rich in color, very rich in scene, and, you know, I noticed the difference with the Rider-Waite is that a lot of the characters are very placid in their face. You don't see much expression, and in a lot of other tarot decks that mimic the Rider-Waite, the characters are normally very placid, very, you know, no expression to their faces, just very portrait. And in the African-American deck, you just see so much expression. There's just the wands basically represented in every single card because the scenes are just wielding such power. For example, the Chariot, which depicts the Orisha Oya riding forth and, you know, having a tornado behind her and looking as if she's charging into battle itself. And the Chariot in the Rider-Waite, you know, the character looks a bit more, it's just like classic. And I know Rider-Waite was like one of the first, so it didn't have that sort of artistic advancement, I maybe want to use the word, than the many decks, variations of decks and variation of characters that we see today in contrast. But this card also is one, you know, again, like I said, it's just so much rich expression, so much depth, you know, like Taruk was saying. So, Of the readings that you have given, with how are you hit? I mean, obviously you had it for 5 years. So how has the deck been working with you? Maybe when you've given readings to hard questions, how would you say the deck responds?
I mean, it responds by giving the truth. I mean, I don't think I have had one reading where the person has been like, you're wrong, you know. The cards can be extremely harsh. They can be extremely truth-revealing and you know, it can be very, very real, you know. Those cards are very heavy. They don't play around, you know. If you want to be sugar-coated
and you
know,
like
told what you want to be.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, if you'd like to get a preview of that, you can definitely check out our archives where each of us, myself, Taruk, and Rowan, another co-host of ours, give our Wednesday review readings, and we do it every week. So definitely check out our reading styles. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was a little promo time, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just saying that they're just a very heavy cards, and if you want to be sugar-coated or, you know, told something that, you know, what you want to hear, these cards are not it. Yeah, they don't play. Definitely don't play around. Yeah.
Very, very, very rich. Very rich. So what other history do you think this card represents?
Well,
what's the different combination
know,
of history?
Uh-huh. Right. You know, this deck represents a lot of the West African deities, a lot of the Orishas, which is, you know, the ancient original religion of a lot of West African countries. They have a lot of mythological characters. You know, so this deck can be very educational and can help a lot of people out there who are looking for a connection to their ancient African origins, who may not have that much knowledge of, you know, African mythology and African religions. This deck does help and connect you to those ancestors and to those powers. That's another reason why I wanted to get this deck, is because of their mythological representation. Then you see a lot of the deities from, you know, different African countries in this deck. So I really like that a lot.
And what's also interesting to note is that this deck is called the African American. So what's also shared in a lot of the depictions, especially the minor arcana depictions, are in the top either left corner, right corner, or somewhere in the display of the top overhead. You see a more modern, more modern Americanized, African Americanized sort of interpretation. There's business suits.
Yes.
There is definitely,
historical
civility
figures, you know,
and law.
Yeah. They have a lot of African American historical figures, you know, in the minor arcana that are displayed in monotone in the top corners of the card. You see a lot of, you know, African American, you know, historical figures. I don't own the small pamphlet anymore. You know, years have passed by and it's just disintegrated. So I wish I could name some of the historical figures, but I do think I remember Harriet Tubman being one of them. I think Martin Luther King is in here too in one of these. So, you know, and also the inventors, you know, different doctors, you know. So a lot of important historical figures are displayed. And the little pamphlet, even though it's a small pamphlet.
Of the African-American community.
Yeah. And I wish that the pamphlet was actually a book, you know, because I think this deck deserves a book, not a small pamphlet that is more descriptive and actually speaks on the mythologies
and
also
let me give
real
let me
life.
Let me give some homage to the writer and the artist, okay? And Thomas Davis was the artist of this beautiful deck, and this deck was produced by Lo Scarabello. I hope I didn't butcher that. And the editor, I'm sorry, the writer was Jamal R. That's just what he's listed as. So I just wanted to give, you know, we're talking about the deck, we should definitely give some homage to the creators of this deck. So
I completely agree.
So I didn't mean to cut you off again.
That's fine. But yeah, so this deck is very informative and very you know, knowledge, well, not knowledgeable. I mean, well, it can make you very knowledgeable once you really dive into each of the cards and learn about the history of each of the, you know, illustrations and the characters. So like I was saying, I definitely wish that a book, an actual book was dedicated and not just a simple, you know, 20-page, 2x2 fat pamphlet. I think it's, they did an injustice when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I think the book was very, well, the booklet, like you said, was, it was just a little too small, very fast paced. It only had minimal sort of description. And these cards deserve stories. You know, these cards
they definitely
deserve
a story.
A scene and a plot because
I completely
you know,
agree.
The
I completely agree. You know,
and the depth of it's just very much represented.
Yes,
so
yes. I mean, this deck has
the,
a life to it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'm saying this deck has a life to it. The deck has a life
yes.
to it. You know, it definitely carries a spirit on it. I definitely feel that. Yeah, so it definitely deserved a lot more than a pamphlet. Definitely more than a pamphlet. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to – I think this was a really fun show. I noticed our review shows were kind of a little all over the place, but I guess that's what makes this a topic show, and we'll definitely try to do more of these shows. If you enjoyed this or want to hear more of us, check out our archives, okay, at TripleChaliceTarot.com/blogtalkradio. We have done a bunch of shows. We've done shows about other topics,
yes.
Witches and TV. We've done readings, our Wednesday midweek reading we do every week. We have our Saturday shows where we're reviewing the major arcana, as well as we did do the minor arcana previously. So check out all that. You know, if you're listening and we really resonate with you, we hope that you check us out and give us some love on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram account, all at Triple Chalice Tarot, and let us know if you'd like to call in, maybe be a listener, be a reader. We're definitely open and looking to try something new, push it forward, right? So with that, your host. I'm your host, Aluna Odette, joined by my lovely co-host, Tarouk Bashal. Would you have anything
yes,
else to say
to
close
that,
tonight?
I guess. Good evening, everyone. Good night.
Good night.